Well, Doreen, do we want to just slightly move ahead maybe on some of the more administrative matters, and then when Denise joins us, we can kind of maybe circle back. Christy, is that okay with you?
That's fine with me. I'm good with however we want to proceed.
I believe I was trying to keep it a very short meeting this time.
Okay.
I knew it was a special meeting. We were asking, normally we go dark, and we came together to approve these specific documents that we normally don't have to have on our agenda. So many of the items are just action items today. Unless I can go ahead and give you a brief update on kind of where we're at with our El Central charter petition, if that would be okay with the board. We are actually working on what I call the main part. For the most part, we've updated it to be responsive to all of the new legal requirements under AB 1505. Working on, merging in all of our educational data to prove that we're demonstrating positive academic performance at our El Centro site. And then we're also updating some of the areas. We always do a space on, what we accomplished and what our focus was on the last 5 years. So really that's been a discussion back and forth with me and Mr. Anderson and I, just making sure we update all of that. And then lastly, we are working on a budget, and we already got a draft budget, and now we're in the process of what we call, we go back and forth. It's an iterative process. We look at it, then we kind of review it, then we send it back and forth. So I'm hopeful that all of this process could be completed, by the first or second week of January. So then we can go ahead, and that I'm hoping that the attorneys can review it one more time as well. That I can go ahead and I can submit it at least to get us in the, I want to say on the calendar for El Centro to provide a public hearing. I have not heard anything at this point back from El Centro as far as their process. I know San Bernardino allowed us, or their process was to do it virtual. My guess is El Centro will do it the same. I don't believe El Centro will combine the public hearing and vote in one. That has not been historically their approach. But maybe because of the environment we're in, that too will be easier for them. I'm sure they're not going to want to elongate it either, given all of our things that we're kind of going through with COVID, and they're going through too as a larger school district. I know some school districts or some charters that are up for renewal this year have worked it out with their authorizer to give them a one-year extension. And they've done it just in the form of like an MOU based on, everything going on. Both parties agree to extend the charter for a year. I was thinking about that. I don't know if that's really the best option with Mr. Ledoux. I think sometimes, honestly, I think the situation would work in our favor right now to move it forward. So ultimately, that's kind of the approach we're still working on, the submission of the charter petition by January, and hopefully moving that along. I will share with you, we're the exemption application was posted the last time I talked with the board. We had completed that for El Centro. They gave us their support. That there's a section on it where the authorizer has to sign off that they support this on behalf of the charter school, and they, no questions asked, they signed off on it, and very easily. So I was surprised about that. That's another reason, knock on wood, I really think that it might be in our benefit to just go for the renewal this year and not let any kind of graft sort of settle under Mr. Ledoux. And again, most likely it will probably be a virtual experience, much like San Bernardino's was.
You know, I would hope that we could move forward with, I mean, even though it's the, you know, the district proposing and us discussing and negotiating, you know, kind of a plan, but it sure would be good to have that issue behind us. And even if they were to, rather than do five, do three, I mean, I think we have to think about all of those scenarios. 1 year to really kind of recalibrate and get ready to do this all over again is a bit much. So I would caution us in our discussion around that and say, if in fact it's a hard push, we don't want to lock the system down, but if it is a harder push on their part for some way to maybe get a little bit more sanity and insight into kind of going forward, we talk about that 3 year. And 3 year is something that has been done in the past by authorizers. So I would just throw that out, Doreen, to you know, kind of keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I believe not to benefit from COVID by any means. I would never want to say that. I just believe in the situation it might work in our favor. Mm-hmm. Or at this point for the charter petition.
Yeah, agreed. Submission.
I wonder if Denise has joined us yet. Yes, she's here. So I believe we have a quorum.
All right, wonderful.
Hey.
So we can call to order at 5:45. Yes. And okay, that's the first item. Second item is approval of the December board agenda.
So moved.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Roll call.
Carla?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have anyone present for a public comment?
None from San Bernardino.
None from okay. Central.
I know. It occurred to me, I was listening for Bill's voice.
Me too. And I was like, oh, wait, I need to write it on this. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, then. We'll move on to item number four, consent agenda items, approval of November minutes. We've got November 17th, 2020, and November 24th, 2020. Is that one motion or two?
We can do one motion if it pleases the board.
Okay. Well, I'll move to approve the November minutes, both November 17th and November 24th, 2020.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Roll call.
Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Doreen.
Oh, no, that's okay. Motion passes.
Item five, agenda action items. I'll hand it off to Doreen at this point, please.
Okay, board members. So what I had sent out to you were probably some very long documents. And what it is it's a school plan for student achievement. I know you've heard me speak about this almost every single meeting. Due to the pandemic, the CDE was thoughtful enough to remove the requirement of our local control accountability plan that we always approve with our budget every year. And instead they added multiple more documents. So we brought before you our distance learning plan. Then we brought before you our learning continuity plan. And now we're bringing before you our school plan for student achievement. And this one is specifically that speaks to how we spend our title dollars. And those are the federal dollars that you approve every year for me to submit through the consolidated application. So it's the Title I dollars, the Title II dollars, and our Title IV dollars. Both schools do not get a whole lot of dollars from there, but they do provide us with a small funding source. Prior to this year, when we approved the LCAP satisfied the requirement for identifying how we would spend our title dollars because we would integrate that into our LCAP. Since we didn't do an LCAP this year, we had to do what they're calling a CIPSA. So I know those were kind of long documents. So what I tried to do is give you a one-page summary before you got into the document. And really it just identifies how we will spend our title dollars. It describes, you know, sort of our instructional strategies. And then it just delineates out sort of the different funding mechanisms. Ultimately, both schools are in line with their approach. We're looking at bringing on, or we have actually already, we're funding an interventionist that really works specifically to increase academics in the area of English language arts and math, and we have been doing that. In addition to that, we opted to spend our dollars. They give you a small amount of dollars, our Title II dollars, to spend on professional development. And we focused on, you know, again, tying into that interventionist approach. Our new thing this year, again, is that building the remote learning capacity. And a small amount of dollars we allocated to our teachers that for our new teachers that need to take certain coursework, their BITSA or their induction training to become fully credentialed. So both of those schools pretty much have the same approach. The CIPSA, as you saw, gives, you know, a lot of detail about, you know, student academic achievement in the front. It gives you a summary of the schools, and then it really delves into how we're going to spend the money. So with that, I'll answer any questions on the CIPSA.
Doreen, this is more a comment than a question, and something for us to ponder and maybe come back to. I think, you know, we need to really challenge ourselves with the notion of what happens to our students with regard to this loss of almost 2 years of kind of classroom-based instruction, and how far, you know, will students be behind as a result of that? And whether or not we might consider trying to identify, whether it be state funds or approaching corporations or foundations, about some sort of summer program that allows, or a weekend program once maybe the next school year starts, you know, a summer academy or a weekend academy to help students really bolster up part of the area that they have, you know, not experienced learning the way that we would want them to. So I'd just like for you and Shannon and Bill to think about that, you know. What might we do above and beyond what the traditional model might be to assist our students in regaining this ground? Because I mean, Shannon, Doreen, and others, you know, we've talked a lot about, really particularly for some of our younger students, when they fall behind, it becomes exceedingly difficult for them to catch up if they don't have the basics. And so, you know, we just might want to think about that. And I don't have any answers, but I'm just saying, I think it's worth us thinking about, you know, what might we do above and beyond in order to help it. And we may have to segment it. It may be for TKs through three, through third grade. I mean, I don't know, but I'd like for the three of you guys to think that out. And maybe even to get some input from the curriculum specialists that we are considering for the board to engage them in that discussion as well. So just something to think about.
Thank you.
Doreen, I'm looking at the, let's see, data analysis, comprehensive needs assessment data analysis. It's page 20 on the PDF. Could you talk a little bit about the table at the bottom? There's blue, the orange, the yellow.
Let me go ahead and pull it up.
I think Joseph has it up on screen.
Okay. So that's our dashboard. And that's as California constantly evolves and how they want to report out information or to evaluate schools. When we first came into it, way back when, you know, we had the academic performance index and that, you know, they gave schools a number, and if you were above 800, for the most part, you were, you know, doing well. Anything less, you needed to really work on. And then California actually redesigned how they were going to assess schools. They felt, for the most part, you couldn't just look at one factor, because that API was in a, and I'm being extremely simplistic here, very, very high level.
Well, actually, maybe I can even simplify my question even more, because I'm just not sure what the blue, orange, and yellow mean.
So basically, they had developed a system. They had shared, you know, you can't just look at one score. It has right. to be multiple factors, and they come up with these factors. So, and then they assign color codes to them. So blue is blue. I believe it goes green, blue.
Blue, green.
Blue. Oh, is it blue?
Blue is the highest. Blue is what we want. Blue is good. Yep.
Blue is good. So blue, green, and then I believe yellow, orange, and then red. So we do not want, obviously, any red. The other areas, orange, yellows, we have to basically put a performance improvement plan in place to address those.
I see. Okay.
Was that way too simplistic?
No, that was actually exactly what I wanted to know, because I'm looking at the blue squares and it says blue and the orange squares say orange and the yellow ones say yellow, but I wasn't really, I didn't see a key or a legend.
So you didn't know what blue and orange meant.
Right.
And okay. Just sort Thank of you. A note on the chronic absenteeism and suspension rate, there's a little bit of pushback with the smaller charter schools, obviously, because if you have one suspension, it can push you into a really negative presentation. So definitely there's groups working behind the scenes on this whole dashboard. And initially, I believe the charter authorizers were really going to use this as a benchmark or a matrix as to whether or not they can approve your charter. This is probably another benefit of going before El Centro this year, is because we don't have updated data for this, because we didn't test over the last year. So this year they're not updating this data. So that could be also another benefit for us.
And I think, Doreen, if I may jump in, we had staff actually go to a state testing training today with the CDE. The CDE was putting it on, and the California Teachers Association representatives and various teachers throughout the meeting were telling the state, this is ridiculous. We shouldn't be testing this year. You know, we have third and fourth graders who have never taken the test before. The homes, you know, the whole thing. And their only answer is, yeah, well, we're testing.
Oh, there's, I think they need federal approval not to, right?
Right. So as of right now, we're still testing this year, which means everyone across the state, everyone's data is going to tank. But in terms of renewal, it, especially with AP 1505, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. They just look at that number. So I would kind of agree with Doreen that it might be wiser in light of not having the data at all to go forward this year.
And isn't it, I mean, I understand nobody wants to see the numbers tank, but isn't it better to have the data to see the impact?
That's what I would think.
It is better to have data to measure the impact and to make instructional decisions going forward. I think that having data where your very existence is tied to it, your funding is tied to it, things that during, you know, after such a significant pandemic and shutdown and everything that went with it, I think the high stake tied to this data is what's inappropriate.
But I see what you're saying.
That's my opinion as an educator. That is not in any way an official representation from the state or the school. That's my vision.
It makes sense, though. No, it makes sense, though, because if, you know, the Ballington existence is tied to that, you know, more disadvantaged communities are going to struggle more and be out of existence because of it. Whereas, you know, communities maybe with more resources or would not be at risk as much. So I do see what you're saying.
There's also, I think, the standard of holding charters to this versus school districts. So I think, you know, this is essentially, as Shannon mentioned, an evaluation matrix to approve or deny, and sometimes school districts are not in that situation as charters are.
You know, I like to be the devil's advocate with that a bit. I think there's a formal process and then there's an informal process that allows us to know. And so the question that I would kind of build on to what Christy is saying, you know, it would seem like it would be important for us to know, okay, whether we report it officially is another issue, but how might we capture data that can inform us and allow us to see where folk are.
And
that's the issue I was talking about when I'm saying we don't really understand how far these kids are really going to be behind. Okay, we can surmise and we've got some general idea, but if there's a way that we can put together our data such that we can make some decisions that aren't official decisions as it relates to the funder, but are official based on our board and our schools for advancing, I think that's something we really need to do. And so that's why I'm pushing that issue with, you know, you, Doreen, and Shannon and Bill, to really, let's take a look at, you know, what we might be able to do to get our arms around where the kids are and then to get some special funding for our children.
And I think, Shannon, I know, were you going to speak to their...
I was, if go that's ahead. Okay. if I may, we actually already have that in place with our MAP NWEA data, which we do share with the board on a regular basis. And we are able to use that to make instructional decisions and lesson plan decisions, who's going to be pulled for intervention, things like that. I think that the tests, the MAP tests that are being taken this school year, we need to look at very, very carefully because of the test setting the students are in. We have some students with significant help and others with no help. So we need to be very careful, but we will be able to measure that learning loss very quickly with the MAP data when we come back in person. Because that test is once we finish the test, the results are then there the next day. And it is a nationally normed test. It is aligned to the state standards as well as the state tests. It can make predictions for the state tests. And Doreen, I might be wrong. You can tell us, but I believe our MAP data is further down in this document.
I believe it is. It's way, way down.
Yeah.
And that was from not from, from like a year or so ago.
Right, from 1920.
Yep. Yes, we did... as Shannon mentioned, we did do our MAP data this year. We did it remotely. Unfortunately, we did talk, Bill, Shannon, and I, and we looked at the data, and we know that it's probably not very valid data at this point. We have, you know, some students coming in extremely high who were not performing well in years prior. So we know that, you know,
we had 89% of
I mean the parents are doing it.
Yeah, the parents are standing off to the side telling them what to say. I saw the data the next day and we had 89% of fourth and fifth graders in the very top level, not top just level. High, but like the high. And I was just like, no, that's not right. I mean, that would be wonderful. That's my goal.
Right.
I did get excited for a minute. And then it's like, we need to really look at this and evaluate what's going on.
Yeah. When we look at prior year data, we know there's just, it's not possible to have grown that much, not being in school. Otherwise, you know, what are we doing then? Right.
Well, I don't have any other questions or comments.
Yeah, I don't have any either. Good explanation from you, Doreen.
Yes, thank you, Doreen.
I tried not to get into the weeds. Thanks.
Okay, so do we want to move to approve the SIPSA, you call it? School Plans for Student Achievement?
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the School Plans for Student Achievements as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
No?
Carla, I'll do the roll call.
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
And Christy?
Yes.
Motion carries. The next piece is, it goes hand in hand again with where we're at this year. We had submitted last year our LCAP. I also had provided you with our LCAP addendum for last year. Because we made some slight changes in how we were going to allocate our funding and our SIPSA, we needed to update another very large document, which is called our LCAP addendum. And again, this speaks to the federal level monies and all of the federal requirements. So basically the revisions to this was just an emphasis on the intervention role And then an identification of some of our updated curricula selections. The intent of this document was to match to our CIPSA, so both of our documents had the same language in them. So again, minor revisions, more of an administrative process. And I'll entertain any questions.
Don't have any.
Does Miss Christie know she's muted?
Oh. Yes, I do. Okay, thank you. I don't have any questions. That's all I was going to say.
And I just would ask for a motion to approve the revised LCAP addendum.
Okay, let me just get to that.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the revised federal LCAP addendum as presented.
I'll second that.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Roll call?
Carla?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion passes. And the next subject is our approval of new board members. Very exciting. I know a couple months ago, I will say for the last year, we have been bringing this project of board recruitment to our meetings. I think probably in the last couple months, we had a plan that took some traction. And I believe the outcomes are here with the recommendation of three new board members, actually. And board members, you have their resumes in your packets. I also believe that each, I know, like Miss Christie, you had met one of the board members, and I know Carla and Denise, you have met the other two board members. So ultimately, mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say is the board members have met all of them, at least one of the board members have. So Miss Pixie Krim is a curriculum specialist with Imperial Valley College coming before you. Miss Lily Garcia is also an El Centro resident, and she works with People Ready. Miss Crystal Valdez would be a San Bernardino representative, and she is also a parent representative. So if all of these board members are approved, we would be increasing our representation in El Centro by two community members, and then in San Bernardino by one community member who is also a parent. So that would give us a vantage point, another parent vantage point from San Bernardino. Interestingly, Ms. Valdez was actually the one that was showcased in our charter renewal video. So some of you have probably got to meet her even through the video process. I'll open it up to the board members to provide any feedback, any input you would like to share about any three of these candidates. I know it felt like a long process, but I'll open it up to you.
For the El Centro candidates, and I know both of them, and not Dixie, not so much, but I know who she is, but definitely Lily, and I think they'll be great board members.
Yes, Doreen, I just need to add that Lily Garcia is also a parent of a child at Ballington. So she does. She does have one child there.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Doreen, now we're going to be six board members. What is the quorum going to be? Is that four?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
And do we need to make individual motions for these, or all one motion to accept all of them, or how would you?
One motion to accept them all would be okay, unless the board wanted to individually accept each one. I put it all as one on the agenda just for the ability to do it as one motion. Or the board could choose to pull them apart.
I don't have a problem with them being together, because I would vote yes for all three. I had a chance to speak with Crystal Valdez over the phone, and I just really loved her passion and her ideas and her energy. I think she will make a great addition to the board. And when Dixie and Lily joined us for the meeting, I don't know if it was the last meeting or the meeting before last, but I think it was Dixie. It really impressed me with her, just that she speaks the language and of schools and of funding and of the things that are presented to us at each board meeting. And I guess I could say the same for Crystal too, because we did get into a little bit of that over the phone. But I have not only no issues with the three candidates, but I would enthusiastically endorse all three. So I have no problem keeping them together. But if there's other, you know, if there's a reason to separate them, I'm fine with that too.
I would just say, for your records, just, you never know who's going to look at your records. And the fact of the matter is you always want to be intentional in your discernment. And so for that reason, I would just suggest that basically each individual be presented. And if there was a comment by the person that nominated them, that comment could be made, and then we could vote on it, so that you've got that transcript, so to speak. If anyone were to kind of look at your records.
I'm good with that. Yeah.
Okay.
So should we go with Ms. Dixie Krim first?
Sure. With that, I'll make a motion to approve Dixie Krim as a new board member.
I'll second that. I guess I should say, any discussion? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
No. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Roll call.
Denise? I think she said yes. Christy?
Yes.
Yes.
And Carla?
Yes.
Motion passes. Ms. Krim has been voted onto the board.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve Lily Garcia as the new board member.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Roll call.
Carla?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
And Christy?
Yes.
Motion passes. Ms. Garcia is welcome to the board.
All right. I'll make the motion to approve Crystal Valdez as a new board member.
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, roll call.
Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion passes. Ms. Valdez has been officially welcomed to the board.
Okay. congratulations on the outreach. Congratulations on really, yeah. At least for a moment, we'll be able to take this item off the agenda. But we want to stay vigilant and realistically, if we are able to identify another resource, particularly in the San Bernardino or the Inland Empire region, let's kind of keep our eyes open and our ears open for prospects for that. That would give us some of the balance that I think we really would like to have.
If I may, I do have a question. With a 6-member board, what is the procedure in the event of a tie?
Good question.
That's the reason that we're trying to get that other person. that was my motive there.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. McFadden, great minds think alike.
I don't know the procedure.
Well, I guess we just need to get a new board member.
Yeah.
We've been such a congenial body that we haven't had to deal with that.
Right. But
as matters develop, you really do want to have that capability. So whether or not it's another person from the Valley, I would think that, again, we want to look for the Inland Empire, but we really want to try to get some balance and at the same time get in a position of having an odd number of individuals. So
yeah,
my eyes open.
Yeah, I can't remember if there's anything about it in the bylaws.
Okay.
There's not, we don't weigh into it and we don't, sometimes there's an internal dispute resolution policy. We don't have one of those either that really call out what happens in the event of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will be seeing Scott Peters, chief of staff, on Thursday of this week via Zoom, of course, for a social justice meeting. And what I will do is revisit with her our discussion regarding trying to identify, she's from the Inland Empire area, San Bernardino area, continuing to work on trying to identify a prospect or two for us to talk to. So I will stay vigilant on that.
Great.
Okay. All right. Are there any other comments, closing comments, parting comments? I guess the only one that I have is Merry Christmas to everyone.
Yes.
And Happy New Year.
Yes, yes.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Got what, 16 days left of 2020. But who's counting? It's been a pleasure working with you all through 2020 in these amazingly difficult circumstances that Doreen and Shannon and Bill are working through. Is just awe-inspiring, and I so appreciate the work that you all do, and thank you for that.
Thank you.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Thank you.
One thing, Doreen and Christy, we need to get a welcome letter to all three of the individuals that we just approved, welcoming them to the board and having you, Christy, sign it. And I think, Doreen, it would not be a bad idea for you to sign it as well as the superintendent. So just a thought, but I think that would
sounds
be good.
Good.
And then letting them know the schedule of meetings, like for January, the next meeting, so that they can at least get that on their calendar and be ready for a participation.
Okay. Sounds good.
Christy, I'll send you a draft that you can review probably in the next couple days.
Sounds good. I'll look for it.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You guys have a great one. And again,
Merry thank Christmas you,
everyone. Absolutely.
Great.
You, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you. Merry, Merry Christmas to everybody. Safe, be warm.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Take care of those puppies. Keep them warm.
Yes. In their sweater.
Yes.
In their winter pajamas.
I gotta go. I really gotta go. He just